Okay, that's just going to go around and pass around those offering bags. As they're doing that, would you go ahead and open up your Bible to Luke? Luke, okay, the Gospel of Luke. So go to your New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, third book in your New Testament. And let's take a look at Luke chapter 23, verses 33 through 36. Luke chapter 23, beginning in verse 33, says this. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified Jesus, along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Why don't you underline verse 34 there? "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. And they said, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one." And then the soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine and vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." This whole series has been about how the cross of Christ and the resurrection of Jesus was not just an event that happened 2,000 years ago, but it's incredibly practical, incredibly relevant today, incredibly relevant to your family. And so we've been talking about the cross and the resurrection of Jesus and how it makes a difference in our family. And the ground we're going to cover today, the new ground we're going to cover today, is really just a one word ground. And it's probably one of the most powerful words in the human language. Certainly one of the most powerful acts that we can do as human beings. Something we all desperately need to receive, but something we also desperately need to learn how to give. So here's the one word: forgiveness. Forgiveness. And I want to think about how much of your life you waste in unforgiveness. I just want us to think about this for a second, because when you're in that state of mind where there's this fight or this tension, and you've been hurt, and instead of forgiving, you stew on it and you replay that thing in your mind, and you're just, you know, days go by and you're just angry because you keep thinking about this thing and what you should have said and what you're going to do next time, and those are just really wasted days, because they're days that are lived so far below what God would have for you. It's really kind of like a wasted day. So I was thinking, the average family, I did great research, about 10 people, but I think that this is probably right, okay? Like the average family, there's something that goes on in their family where there is some kind of hurt that goes on in the family where bitterness takes root, where somebody says, I'm not ready to forgive you. And that happens typically, on average, from my extensive research of 10, about once a month. About once in the month in the average family. And with that average family, they hold on to that bitterness for a couple days. Right? So it's a couple days from the point of, you hurt me and I'm not going to forgive you, and I'm going to hold onto this thing, and I'm going to stew about it, and I'm going to try to maybe get you back. But even if I don't try to get you back, I'm just going to stew in my anger. About 2 days a month of that, 2 days a month in a family. And that might not seem like much, 2 days, right? But when you extend that out through a lifetime in a family or a lifetime in marriage, that's over three years wasted. 3 years of your life, pretty much wasted. 3 years of your life, completely living at a completely subpar level of what Jesus intended for you to live. And just like, life is too short for that, isn't it? Isn't life just too short for us to be throwing away years like this? Like, we don't get that many years, throwing them away. And so Jesus taught us how to get those years back. And it's through forgiveness. Forgiveness. And I want to start with talking about stuff Jesus never taught about forgiveness. And the reason I want to, I know it's a weird place to start, but the reason I want to start there is because I feel like so many of us struggle with forgiveness and think, it just feels impossible for me to forgive this person or this situation, because we're working off a definition that Jesus never taught. We're working off a definition of forgiveness that's really not a biblical definition and makes it feel impossible when it's really not. So stuff Jesus never taught about forgiveness. Jesus never taught that forgiveness was having to feel good about that bad thing that happened to you. Never taught that. And if you tell a woman who has been, let's say, abandoned by her spouse, that the only way that she can forgive is she has to feel good about that abandonment, then it's going to feel impossible for her to forgive. But Jesus never taught that. Jesus never taught that forgiveness is just simply forgetting, like you remember it no more, right? To tell a small business owner who's been completely ripped off by his partner and the business went under that you just have to remember that sin no more would feel impossible for that man. But Jesus never taught that. Jesus never taught that forgiveness and trust were synonymous. Never taught that. And so to tell the spouse, for instance, who's married to somebody who had sexually abused their children, that the only way that she can forgive him is that she needs to trust him with the children again, that would feel impossible for her at the moment. Jesus never taught that forgiveness is the absence of consequences. Like you just don't do anything. Like if you forgive, you just don't do anything about it. Jesus never taught that. Matter of fact, it was Jesus that gave us the whole process of church discipline, right? And so for some of us here who's struggling with forgiveness, maybe it's because you're holding on to a definition that Jesus never taught. And if we can just take all those things that we just talked about, all those wrong points, and let's just take them and let's just put them over here and forget about them for a second. And let's look at what the scriptures say and what Jesus taught about what forgiveness really is. Okay, are you with me on that? You guys are really sleepy today. Are you with me on that? Okay, don't leave me hanging, all right? Now, so two ground rules before we get going, because I'm going to put up a biblical definition in just a couple of minutes, and we're going to support it from the teachings of Jesus. But I want to give two ground rules to get going here. The first ground rule is this. Whatever we learn here today about how we've been forgiven, that's the pattern that we need to forgive others. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 says this. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. In the same way that you've been forgiven, right, as God forgave you, you are then to forgive others. So that's ground rule number one. Ground rule number two is, as Christians, listen, you can't opt out of this one. You can't. Okay. You can't just say, I'm just going to be an unforgiving Christian. No, you can't do that. You know, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, he says, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Listen, we as followers of Jesus, right? Isn't it true? We have been ridiculously forgiven. Ridiculous. And we've been so forgiven, we must in turn be forgiving people. And if we choose instead to live a continually unforgiving life, we're proving that we don't really belong to Jesus. And so those are the two ground rules as we go into what did Jesus teach about forgiveness. The two ground rules are this. One is, whatever we learn here about how we've been forgiven, that's how we have to forgive others. And number two is, as believers in Christ, we cannot opt out of it. All right, so now let's put up a biblical definition of what forgiveness is, and then we're going to support it from the teachings of Jesus. So here's the biblical definition that I would put out there, and then again, I'll support this from the teachings of Jesus. Forgiveness is the undeserved, limitless grace of choosing to not repay the wrong done to you and choosing instead to act in love and pray for God's best in return. Listen, I know that's really long and I know it's totally not catchy, and I really wanted to reduce it down to five words that all, you know, rhymed and all started with the same letter. but at the end of the day, I just didn't want to lose any of the richness of this beautiful thing that Jesus taught, right? And so how about instead of trying to minimize it and rhyme it, how about this? Let's just put it out there and let's soak it in and appreciate it. And then let's unpack it piece by piece and try to understand it, okay? So here's what I'm going to do. From the teachings of Jesus, I'm going to take this definition. I'm just going to unpack this piece over here and talk about it, and then unpack this piece, and then unpack this piece, and then we're going to put it back together, okay? So the first thing I want to unpack and take a look at this is this. It is undeserved grace. Forgiveness is undeserved grace. Now, I want you to see this from Scripture. So Luke chapter 18, where we started off. Luke chapter 23, verse 33. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified Jesus along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, this is as he's being crucified, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes and casting lots. That is ridiculous forgiveness. I mean, think about it for a second. Here's Jesus, and what's happening is he's being nailed to a cross at this point. He'd been brutally tortured and beaten and bloodied, and now they're stretching out his arms and his feet, and one soldier's holding him, and another one is doing this. pounding nails into his hands. And we see in Scripture that they're mocking him and they're spitting on him. And I mean, can you imagine at that moment, Jesus looking at the people that are doing this and spitting on him and saying, "Father, forgive them." That is ridiculous forgiveness, right? I mean, if there's anybody that deserved non-forgiveness, if there's anybody that earned their condemnation, wouldn't you think it would be the guys hammering the nails into Jesus' hands? And for Jesus to look at these guys as they're doing this and they're mocking him and they're spitting on him and to look at them as the blood is gushing out and cry out, "Father, forgive them," that is absolutely ridiculously undeserved forgiveness. That's how we've been forgiven. I mean, really, really, here's the thing we need to understand is it's just as ridiculous for Jesus to forgive us as it is for him to have forgiven those soldiers. It's just as ridiculous. Because while we didn't swing the hammer down, it was our sins that led Jesus to that cross. Jesus went to the cross to bear our sins in his body. It was your many sins and my many sins that led Jesus to that cross. It's kind of like this. I have a daughter, and imagine my daughter committed this felony, and she was going to have to go to prison. But I stepped in and I took the blame. I said, "No, I did. I'll take the blame." And the judge swings the gavel down and sends me into prison. Well, he may have swung the gavel, but it was the sins of my daughter that sent me to prison. And see, it's the same thing with the cross of Christ. While the hammer isn't in our hands, it was our sins that sent Jesus to that cross. And the cross of Christ is as ridiculously undeserved for us as it was for those soldiers. And you see, some of you just need to hear this above anything else. Because I would say there's probably two groups of people here today. There are followers of Jesus Christ that need to forgive somebody. And then there are people who are not yet followers of Jesus who need to receive forgiveness. And I'm just going to talk to those people, and I don't know who you are, but you know who you are. You've kind of been checking out church, but you haven't yet become a follower of Jesus. And I just want to speak to you for a minute, because if you would just listen to this, and you can forget the rest, you can just blow me off for the next 15, 20 minutes and just listen to this, okay? You desperately need to receive the forgiveness, the freedom from your sin that Jesus offers you. And probably one of the best pictures of what Jesus did for you, I got from the newspaper about a month ago. And it's a story probably you're all familiar with. This sea captain, right? And he's up from, I think he's from Maine, and he's got this crew, and he's got this ship, and it's rounding the Cape in Africa, and Somali pirates attack the ship, and there's this skirmish and this battle going on, and the crew is trying to defend the ship, but they're gonna lose, and there's grave danger. And the captain, here's what the captain does for his crew. He steps in front and he just says, "Listen to the pirates, take me, and in exchange, set my crew free." And they did. They took the captain and they bound him and they set the crew free. See, it's a beautiful picture of what Jesus did for you on the cross. Jesus said, "Take me." And he went to that cross and he was nailed to that cross for your sins and for my sins so that you could be set free. But you need to receive your forgiveness. You need to receive that forgiveness. Jesus offers it to you on the cross, but you need to receive that forgiveness by placing your faith in Jesus. And if you've never done that, and maybe listen, you've been checking out church and you like this place and you like the kids programs and you like the band and you know, but are you in love with Jesus? And if your answer is, "I don't know," then you're probably not, right? Place your faith in Jesus today. Place your faith in Jesus and receive your freedom. Receive your forgiveness. Now, I don't know who you are that need to hear that, but for the rest of this message, completely blow me off if you're one of those people, right? And you just think about that, and in the end, we're going to come back to that, and you just make yourself ready to receive the forgiveness of Jesus. For the rest of you who have already placed your faith in Jesus, here's what I'd like you to take from this initial point, this undeserved grace, is this. We have been ridiculously forgiven by God, ridiculously, undeservedly forgiven. And that's how we're supposed to forgive others, right? Ground rule number one, how we've been forgiven, we have to forgive others. We've been ridiculously, undeservedly forgiven. That means we're going to have to, as followers of Jesus, forgive people who we believe totally don't deserve it. Forgive people that deeply hurt you. Forgive people that are so self-absorbed that they don't even know that they hurt you. When they found out that they did, they don't even care. Right? Like ridiculously undeserved forgiveness. That's what you've received. And so that's what you're called to give to others. Undeserved forgiveness, grace. Let's continue to unpack. So we've got this one piece over here. It's undeserved. It's undeserved grace. Let's take a look at this other piece. It's the undeserved grace of, and I know I didn't do the word limitless. We're going to come back to that in a second. Undeserved grace of choosing not to repay the wrong done to you. Choosing not to repay the wrong done to you. So let's go ahead back into the scriptures, this time in Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew. So if you're in Luke, would you go a couple books over to your left? Take a look at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, the words of Jesus, Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 38. Jesus says, Matthew 5, verse 38, "You have heard that it was said, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also." Forgiveness is the undeserved grace of choosing to not repay the wrong done to you. And I'm not going to major on this one because I really majored on it last week. And so if you missed last week, get on the podcast. But last week we spent pretty much the whole service talking about how Christians are not to return hurt for hurt. And this is absolutely central to forgiveness, because as long as you're in this thing where it's like, okay, you hurt me, no, I'm going to hurt you, then we just keep this cycle going, because what's that person going to do? He's going to hurt me back, and then I'm going to hurt. And all you do is you just keep stewing and stewing and stewing, and this cycle of bitterness just keeps growing, and there's no end to that cycle until somebody's just absolutely broken, or you separate, and this tear in your family. And listen, if you want to change that, you have to stop returning hurt for hurt. Stop trying to settle the score, because that just keeps you in bitterness. So stop trying to repay wrong for wrong. And then instead, we're going to unpack this next piece now, choosing instead to act in love and pray for God's best for that person in return. Act in love and pray for that person. Let's look at it again. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. Jesus again says, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies, and pray for those who persecute you." You see, Jesus says, evil is never overcome by mirroring it. Evil is overcome by its opposite, right? Evil is, when somebody hurts you, it's never overcome by providing more hurt. That's just mirroring the evil. Evil is overcome by actually meeting it with the opposite, meeting it with an act of kindness, an act of love, right? It's totally unexpected. By the way, if you ever, just try it. It totally freaks people out, right? I did this week, and normally I stand up here and tell you what an idiot I am and how I totally blew it this week, but God gave me some grace this week. I actually did it right. Yes, right? And so this happened to me actually early in the week. Somebody did something to me that was really kind of hurtful, and I chose to instead respond with an act of love, because everything in me was like, I'm going to get you back, and I knew how to get this person back too. I really did. And I chose not to, right? I chose not to. And said, instead, I'm just going to do the opposite of what I feel like doing. And I'm going to actually act in love. And it totally threw this guy for a loop. He's like, didn't even know how to respond. By the end of the day, he's just like, thanks. I don't even know what to do. And it just totally turned the tables. You see, the evil is overcome, never by mirroring it, by meeting it with its opposite. Act of love and kindness. And here's another great way to remove that bitterness, right? When you're just like living in that bitterness, here's a great way to pray for those who persecute you. Pray for those who hurt you. Because when you start praying for that person, it's such a release from the burden of bitterness. I'm going to tell you a story. I told it probably 6 months or a year ago, but it's just a good story, so I'm going to tell it again. It's when our daughter was a teenager, she had this boyfriend on and off, and I just hated him. And I mean, really, in an ungodly way, I just hated him. And because he was always trying to hurt, he always did these things, just hurtful to my daughter, not physically, but just emotionally, just hurtful to her. And I just always wanted to just punch this kid, you know. And so he did this thing this one day, and it just like really emotionally hurt my daughter. And it was everything in me just keep from bringing him in the woods and not bringing him back, you know, I was like, really, like, and my wife, because just a prayer war, says, we need to pray for him. And I was like, I knew we were supposed to, but I didn't want to. So I'm like, whatever. Okay. I'm just going to sit down here and you just pray and I'll just be in the same vicinity as you pray. Right. And I'm expecting this. Oh God, please bless him and everything. So she starts praying. She says, oh Father, hurt the boy. Just hurt the boy. And all of a sudden I'm just, yes, Jesus, yes. Jesus, smite him, Jesus. Smite him good, right? And pray. Jesus says, pray for those who persecute you, right? Probably not that way. He probably meant more in praying for God's best for that person. Right? And he just, here's the thing, right? When somebody hurts you, I'll take you, Dave, here, right? Cause you haven't hurt me. But if you did, if there was something between you and me and I'm just starting to get some bitterness towards you or anything like that. And I go to the Lord in prayer and God, I just want the best for Dave and for Sue and they're just family. And God, I just pray that you would just take this bitterness away. And God, I just pray that you would just amazingly bless Dave Wallers. And that is just, even when I say it, it's just, even though there's nothing in between, it's just like this release, right? It's like, I really love Dave. I feel like going and hugging you right now. But you know, it's a thing, like when you pray for somebody, right? When you pray for God's best, it's just like this, it just releases that bitterness. Okay. So forgiveness, right? Undeserved grace, ridiculously undeserved grace. Choosing not to repay the wrong done to you, but instead choosing to act in love and pray for God's best in return. And I'm going to come back all the way to this one word that I haven't talked about in the definition yet. The word at the beginning, it's this word, limitless. Limitless. I want you to see this in Scripture. So back into the Scriptures. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Beginning in verse 21. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21, it says, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? And Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but literally 70 times seven. And it was metaphoric. It was like, just keep on. It wasn't like he was putting the number 490 out there. He's like, just keep on forgiving. Just take the limits off. And you see, in Jesus's day, there was this rabbinic tradition that said, if somebody repeatedly, you know, sins, you can forgive them of that sin three times, but you're not supposed to forgive them on the fourth. And so Peter thought he was being really generous. Like, let's almost double it. Let's more than double it, right? I just did some really bad pastor math, right, from the stage. Yeah, 3 times 2 is 6, right? Let's more than double it, right? So how about seven, right? How about seven times? And the problem with Peter's alternative solution and the rabbinic tradition, the problem with them both is they both still kept score, right? They both, when you hurt them, it went like this. That's one, right? They both kept score and they both had a limit. And Jesus' response is, stop keeping score and remove the limit. Right? And I'm so glad that my wife has done this, right? In our life. I'm so glad that you didn't stop at seven, right? Because I would have burned through those in our first week of marriage, right? And then we would have had 24 years of bitterness, right? And maybe you have a kid and the kid just keeps returning to the same sin like a dog returns to his vomit. That's in the Bible, by the way. I didn't just make that one up. Or maybe you have a spouse or a family member that keeps doing and keeps having to ask for forgiveness for the same thing. And they've asked to ask 19 times. And this week it happened again. They asked the 20th time. You're like, how many times am I going to have to forgive you of this? And the answer is, stop counting. The answer is just keep forgiving. It doesn't mean there are no consequences, but we never stop forgiving because that's how we've received forgiveness from Christ, right? Scripture says, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and forgives us of all our unrighteousness. All of it. So how much unrighteousness is that for you all? I bet it's more than three, right? I bet it's more than seven acts of unrighteousness. More than 70 times seven. You see, this is why the scripture says in Psalm 130, verse 3, Lord, if you marked our transgressions, who could stand? If God was keeping score with us, none of us would be able to stand. Thank God, right? Thank God that he's not keeping score with us, but he removes our sin from us as far as the east is from the west. He takes the limits off of it. That's how we've received forgiveness, and so that's how we're to extend forgiveness to others. So from the teachings of Jesus, this is what I would say is the biblical definition of forgiveness. It's the undeserved, ridiculous, limitless grace of choosing to not repay the wrong done to you and choosing instead to act in love and pray for God's best in return. That's how we're called to forgive others. And let's get really practical here. Let's spend some time, because what good is a sermon on forgiveness if we don't go and forgive? Like, if we just go, that was a fascinating sermon on forgiveness, but we don't forgive anybody, like, who cares, right? Like, let's actually, like figure out before we leave this room who we need to forgive, why we're not forgiving them, and what our next step is, okay? So you're with me on that? Okay, something happened about 5 minutes ago. Like, the air conditioner turned off, and the room got really quiet, and you got quiet, and I'm freaking out. So are you with me? Okay, good. So let's figure out first who do we need to, ADD is hard to live with, right? So who do you need to forgive? Who do you need to forgive? Okay. And like, who is it that you cringe when you see and you try to avoid them? Like, you go to the grocery store to buy some cornflakes and you go to turn the aisle and they're in that aisle. So you're like, and you go down the next aisle, you go down there, like the dog food aisle, and you don't even have a dog, and you're just like fake shopping until they get out. Right. Right. Who is it that you're just avoiding because you're just, there's this thing, right? And you're bitter, and maybe it's somebody in church and you're like, I'm so glad that we don't have to sit next to that person, right? Or maybe it's somebody in your family, right? Maybe, is there somebody in your family, when they call and that caller ID comes on, you're like, not here, you know? Or who do you really hope doesn't show up to Thanksgiving this year, right? And like, you have that person in your family, it's like, I hope Charlie doesn't come because this is gonna be awful, right? Who had family members on your block sender list, you know? Is there something in your marriage where you're like, you and your wife, you just can't talk about this thing because every time you do, it just explodes? And, you know, what is it in your family? Who is it in your family that you know you need to forgive? You're holding on to something. It's creating this thing that you're just trying to avoid and cringe. And who is it that you really need to forgive? And then think about this. Why haven't you forgiven them yet? You know, I mean, honestly, ask yourself that question. Why haven't I forgiven this person? Is it because I think that person doesn't deserve my forgiveness? Well, you didn't deserve the forgiveness Jesus gave you either, right? It's ridiculously undeserved. Forgive as you've been forgiven. Or what? Maybe you haven't forgiven because you think, man, I've forgiven this thing so many times, and if I keep forgiving it, then it's just going to keep happening. And Jesus would say, don't keep score. Stop counting. Just keep forgiving, right? Or maybe you're using unforgiveness as a weapon, right? Like, somebody hurt you and you just want to hurt them back, or you want them to just see how bad it hurt you. And so you're holding on to unforgiveness and bitterness, and really it's just returning wrong for wrong, and you gotta let that go, right? And then what next steps should you take today? What next steps should you take today? I'm going to ask you to be thinking about this. Just even as we sing these last couple songs, I'm going to ask you to take a couple steps, even right where you're at. And so if you just let the band come on out and they're going to lead us in a couple songs. But as they're doing that, I'm going to ask you to consider this. What next step do you personally need to take? Like, if you're going to forgive this person, what do you need to do? Maybe for you, you need to get away from this whole thing that they don't deserve it. You need to confess before God that you've been bitter and it's a sin, right? And you just need to confess that before the Lord, because it's a big sin. If you choose to just live an unforgiving life, it says the Father will not forgive your sins. This is a sin. And if you've been unforgiving, maybe you just need to confess that today. Maybe that's your application today. Maybe you need to go home and you need to confess your bitterness and your unforgiveness. Maybe for you, you need to commit to stop returning hurt for hurt. That you, maybe you're in this cycle with somebody and they've hurt you and you've hurt them, and you're actually right now in the process of figuring out how you're going to hurt them. And you just need to confess that sin, and I got to let that go. Or maybe for you, maybe one of the best applications for you is this. Would you just maybe start praying, even during this last song, last couple songs, just start praying. God, and pray for that person that hurt you and begin to just be released. If there's somebody that you need to forgive, what if during these last couple songs, you just started praying for God's best for that person and just start being released from that bitterness? Or maybe for you, right? There's a handful of you. I don't know who you are. There was a handful last night that trusted Jesus for the first time in your life. It's you people that I told you to blow me off for the last 20 minutes, and you've been waiting for this moment, and here it is. Here it is. Why don't you today receive your forgiveness? That Jesus Christ died on that cross for your sins. And this thing is about way more than church, right? This thing is about receiving the forgiveness that Jesus extended to you on the cross. And would you let today be the day of salvation for you and place your faith, even through these last couple songs, there's no magical incantation. You just place your faith in Jesus Christ, just in the quietness of your heart. You just pray to him and receive your forgiveness. Pray to him as your Savior. As a matter of fact, I would love to lead you in a prayer right now. Would you pray with me? Father, I want to pray for those that are here that you brought them here. It's not an accident. So thankful that they're here, that don't yet know Jesus. God, thank you for drawing them into this place. God, I pray that the message of the cross absolutely pierce their heart, that Jesus did it for them to set them free. And today they would receive their freedom by placing their faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior, who died for them. And Father, I just pray for those that already know Jesus and yet holding on to bitterness and holding on to unforgiveness. And God, would you begin to just release people from that prison? And even over these next couple songs, they would just begin to confess and pray and be released. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.